I would like to call the meeting to order. This is the October 31st, 2019 regular meeting of the Public Employment Relations Commission pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act. Adequate notice has been provided by the dissemination of a written annual notice of meeting. On December 20th, 2018, a copy of such notice was prominently posted in a public place at the offices of the Public Employment Relations Commission, emailed to the business offices of the Trenton Times and Courier Post, emailed to the Secretary of State for filing, and posted on the agency's website. Furthermore, on October 25th, copies of an additional written notice of meeting were posted and emailed in a similar manner. The first item for today is consideration of the minutes of the September 26th, 2019 commission meeting. I have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Vote even if you aren't here.
Well, I wasn't here.
1 minute. But you can.
Okay.
If you choose.
I'll just abstain.
Okay. The next item is involves minutes of the special meeting of October 10th, 2019. Motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? And they are adopted. As far as the chair's report is concerned, the agency continues to be in a very active period in all phases of our operations. Settlement of disputes remains our primary focus, as opposed to litigation, which of course we handle whenever necessary. But focusing on having a primary focus on resolution keeps the caseload more manageable and serves the party's interests. We have been able to respond to some more recent difficult bargaining impasses with successful result, and working with the parties to get some skilled mediators, fact finders, or conciliators involved. The court matters that affect us are constantly monitored by our council staff. We expect some results in the not too distant future, but we don't predict the actual pace of court operations and decisions. But we are keeping an eye open, anxiously awaiting the next stages. The Interest Arbitration Panel annual training will be held next week. The agenda is prepared and should lead to an appropriate discussion of interest arbitration issues and events. The last one we had had a great deal of positive interaction among the arbitrators, and we had some input from a neutral source with respect to budgetary impacts and the council staff is there to provide legal assistance in terms of issues that are pending that might relate to the interest arbitration process. So we're looking forward to having a very successful training session next week. The agency continues to have a presence. We're invited to major labor relations gatherings. Most recently, PERC participated in a large workshop at the New Jersey School Boards Association convention. Within the last year, we've also been at the League of Municipalities, the FMBA convention, the PBA convention, and the FOP convention. We have the date for next spring's annual PERC, New Jersey State Bar Association Public Sector Labor Law Conference. It's going to be on April 24th of 2020. It will be held at the Hilton in East Brunswick, as we have in the past, preparations and discussions about how to put together the agenda have begun and will start to sort of take shape as soon as we can to move that along, but save the date if you like. As usual, we expect this to be the premier public sector labor relations gathering of the year. Council report.
Before we get into the council report, I just wanted to update the commission on the three most recently filed federal lawsuits and their status.
Please do.
Okay. We had a conference call in early October, and the outcome of that conference call is that the three most recently filed lawsuits will be put on an administrative hold for 90 days, pending the outcome of the lead cases of Smith and Thulin, which were the first two cases filed, and all the cases are pending before the same judge. So the takeaway is that the three most recently filed cases are in a holding pattern, pending the two cases that were first filed.
The 90 days that was established, was that established by the court?
It was established by the court, yes. And the court also indicated that it would be filing, it would be scheduling oral argument in the Smith and Thulin matters in the near future. That was about 3.5 weeks ago, and we haven't heard anything yet, so I don't know how near the near future is, but we're waiting on the oral argument to be scheduled in those cases.
And the rest of the council report.
Okay. I think the summaries are fairly clear. A couple of interesting issues. The only one related to us is the first case, the Locke case, involving an increment withholding where the teacher, instead of proceeding directly to arbitration, went to Superior Court to challenge the increment withholding, and the court properly, in my view, said, wait a minute, you can challenge this either via arbitration, if it's disciplinary, or via the Commissioner of Education, if it's not disciplinary, so you can't come to court because you haven't gone to either of those places. And after the trial court ruled, the teacher did request arbitration, and under PERC, and an arbitrator was appointed. I don't know if that has moved forward or has been put on hold pending the court litigation, but I think the court's ruling was procedurally correct. You can either go to the commissioner or go to us or an arbitrator before you go anywhere else.
Thank you.
I'd like to add one more thing.
Yes.
Periodically, we redistribute the recusal lists for the commissioners, for the purpose of you having the opportunity to review it and advise us if your recusals have changed, if any recusals need to be added or deleted, particularly in this time when we're grappling with quorum issues in certain cases, it's important that we're dealing with an accurate recusal list. So if you could please just be on the lookout for an email in that regard.
I apologize, I remember getting one now.
Okay.
Did it come out already?
It's only to Commissioner Benanti.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
There was a specific issue which prompted it with Commissioner Benanti. But.
Thank you. And relative to that, let me just note the recusals for today's drafts include respect to draft number 6, Commissioner Pera, who has indicated his belief that the SOA and Elizabeth may be affiliated with the PBA, and he's exercising appropriate caution in recusing himself. With respect to draft number 7, Commissioner Vooz is recused because Rutgers is the employer involved and it is her employer. And with respect to draft number 9, the Warren Hills regional matter, Commissioner Benanti is recused because the law firm involved is his personal attorney.
Actually, it's a county attorney now.
County attorney.
Sorry. In court as we speak.
And this is Christine Lucarelli Carnero for the record, and I'm also recused on the Rutgers matter, number 7.
Thank you. So the first draft that we are going to deal with is the matter of the borough of Carteret, an FMBA local 67, docket number SN-2019-043. This draft was held over at the last commission meeting in light of a tie vote with an absent commissioner who's qualified to vote on the matter. This was an application of commission policy with respect to tie votes in a scope of negotiations case where a commissioner who would be eligible to vote is absent. The draft grants the employer's request for restraint of arbitration of a grievance contesting the borough's failure to reassign probationary firefighters from a daytime schedule to a 24-hour work schedule. The draft finds that this is not purely a work schedule issue, but an assignment question during the limited one-year probationary period of newly hired firefighters. The employer satisfactorily explains that there are training considerations with respect to the deployment of newly hired firefighters, making this issue not mandatorily negotiable. I'll note that we have had considerable discussion on this matter previously, and I would just ask the commissioners to sort of curtail any repetition of what's been said, and I will do that myself with respect to this matter, but we can, in fact, deal with anything that is different than what we've discussed before or discussions that might arise because of the presence of the absent commissioner. May I have a motion to adopt this draft, please?
I'll move.
A second? I'll second. Discussion?
Briefly, I promise. None of the facts have changed. Management's best argument is that because we did this before, it's okay. We all know here that that falls on its face. A past practice that's a violation is still a violation. It's a contractual violation, clearly.
And also briefly, I'll just indicate that this is clearly very limited in scope, and it's tied to what we consider to be the probationary period of newly hired employees, and that once that probationary period is satisfied, obviously, this decision, there would be no restraint with respect to the employees.
I was absent last time. I tried to look again at the city's case, the fire chief's case. I mean, one of his points, the first point on page 11, is that he works during the daytime. So this way, if he could observe the firefighter to see whether he's appropriately trained. Now, I'm a public sector manager, and when I have to observe someone who works outside of the daytime, I just have to come in at night and do that. And I can't see that the fire chief couldn't ever go to observe, you know, an employee at any time outside of the normal hours. And I think there's also this whole thing about, well, they'll get more training because there's more hours of actual work time. Well, but it may be less hours of actual firefighting work time in which the person is being, you know, trained by being on the job.
There's no fires in Carteret after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, right, okay. In any case, I found this whole thing about the training and that only the chief can observe whether the person is trained and only the chief can do it during the daytime to be sort of pretextual or not. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure why he wants to do it or what the motivation is, but I think it is a violation of the contract and can go to arbitration.
I guess I'd like to point out that I didn't read it the same way you did in terms of the chief. I think that was one element of it, was the chief's presence. But I thought the chief also made the contention that in training in general, whether it involved him or other superior mm-hmm. officers, was more available during the, mm-hmm. the daytime assignment. And I think the entire question here is, who is it mandatorily negotiable or arbitrable mm-hmm. to review the training decisions with respect to the finite period of time mm-hmm. during a probationary period? And I would I wouldn't hesitate for a moment if this were beyond the probationary period. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just viewed the same set of circumstances a little differently, and then my question was, under existing law, is it appropriate to allow an arbitrator to review the training decision? But I guess if one were to think that it's pretextual, then it wouldn't be a training decision. So, I understand, but I think that in what we've done in the past as a commission, and what the courts tell us, I think that the decision as to training within this probationary period maybe is best left until the completion of the probationary period is best left to the chief.
And I think a brief response to your persuasive position is that it was argued here extensively as to when that time frame is expired, and I won't revisit it, but this is absolutely a managerial convenience and nothing else. And that probationary period, historically that probationary period, save for one soul, is long gone. This is nothing but a violation.
Any more discussion? All in favor of adopting the draft?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
No. May I would have no problem with a rewrite indicating we are not challenging that time frame, but that's not what's happening here. There may be, I understand, and I totally concur with the chair's position that we are not going to inject ourselves into a training mode. We're not here to train officers. If there was a way that we could find language that said you can't do this, but similar to what Commissioner Wu says, you can do that, I'm not challenging management's authority and prerogative on that. I just think that this is a manipulation.
So you're suggesting that if the draft were to find that in this instance the record doesn't support that this was a training decision and that it was pretextual, that we could say that if it were a training decision, it would be managerial?
Mm-hmm. I think we all concur on that point. I can speak for Commissioner.
You're right.
Okay. I think we'll revisit the draft.
And just as whatever...
Do we resubmit next time?
I think that's
yes.
Fair. We'll revisit and...
Can I make a motion to hold the matter till it's...
There's a motion.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. So it's got to move to arbitration.
It's going to have to move to arbitration.
There's a motion to hold the matter in abeyance till the next session. Is that correct?
If we have the issue of moving this to arbitration for the parties, right?
It is a scope matter, and we have to decide whether it is a legally arbitrable matter. Yes.
So rather than
are we usurping the arbitrator by
holding it for a month?
Yeah,
I don't think so. No.
What is the purpose of holding it for a month?
We're going to redraft and resubmit.
Oh, for the purpose of presenting a new draft?
Yes.
Okay.
Is someone second the motion?
I'll second. I'm sorry. I'll second Commissioner Jones' motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. The next draft is South Orange Village Township and Teamsters Local 125, docket number AC-2019-002. This draft affirms the Director of Representation's decision dismissing a petition for an amendment of certification. The director concluded that the facts presented failed to demonstrate a continuity of representation between the South Orange Municipal Employees Union and Teamsters Local 125. Note that there was a valid certification bar in play in this dispute. Within 1 year of the certification of the South Orange Municipal Employees Union, there is an effort to not affiliate with Teamsters Local 125, but substitute Teamsters Local 125 for the certified representative. And this draft finds that that's a violation, or not in, actually, that the dismissal was appropriate because of the existence of a certification bar. And a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? The draft is adopted. The next matter is the City of Jersey City and Police Officers Benevolent Association, POBA, docket number CO-2018-001. This draft denies the city's motion for summary judgment and the PBA's cross motion. The law in this case is well settled. The city had the right to change its uniform policy, but the POBA had the right to negotiate over the financial impact of any changes. The motions were denied because there's a need for an evidentiary hearing to determine numerous relevant facts. There are disputed facts as to whether the city negotiated the impact of change and whether the POBA made demands for the impact of negotiations. And this draft sets the matter to be set down for a factual hearing. Have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm yay or in support of the denial for the City of Jersey City and summary judgment for the charging party. I would vote yes, which would be negative. No, it's none of those bifurcated decisions. I believe that the charging party was entitled to summary judgment, but not the respondent. However you want to try to record that vote.
Well, it is on tape. And the audio is now being posted.
Yes, and my hat's off to all of those people who aren't so high on that.
Mine too. Okay. So the draft is adopted with a certain no vote. As indicated on the record.
So it was a 4.5 for you then?
4.5. The next item is the City of Elizabeth and Elizabeth Superior Officers Association, docket number SN-2019-024. And as noted before, Commissioner Pajaro has recused himself on this matter. This draft denies the SOA's motion for reconsideration of this case. The SOA did not demonstrate extraordinary circumstances and exceptional importance warranting reconsideration. This is a stringent test for the application of reconsideration of a previously decided matter that is clearly designed to keep people from representing matters and issues that were decided before. This dispute involves a fitness for duty examination. Elements of the early warning system are engaged in the claims, However, the examination arose from an ongoing criminal investigation involving allegations of witness tampering by the grievant in connection with his extra-duty pay jobs. The issue of the EWS procedures are found not severable from the city's substantive decision to reassign, the grievant. So the motion for reconsideration is denied. I have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to abstain.
Three in favor and one abstention. The next matter for consideration is Rutgers and OPEIU Local 153, docket number SN-2019-051. Commissioner Vooz has recused herself on this matter. This draft denies the employer's request for a restraint of arbitration. We conclude that the transfer of the grievant, a security guard, was predominantly disciplinary in nature and therefore arbitrable. It arose from a specific incident of alleged misconduct. Issues raised by Rutgers relating to the defenses of its actions can be raised before the arbitrator. I have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? And the draft is adopted. The next matter is Lyndhurst Board of Education and Education Association. Excuse me. Docket number SN-2019-056. This draft grants the request of the employer to restrain the arbitration over the non-renewal of a guidance counselor without tenure. The case law clearly establishes that the association's claims should properly be presented to the Commissioner of Education. An appeal was in fact filed with the Commissioner of Education about the same time that the association sought to arbitrate the grievance herein. The factual and substantive claims raised by the association may not be arbitrable, but clearly may be presented in the appeal to the Commissioner of Education. I have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I don't believe the point, but I believe our language should have been more in the sense of directing the parties to the Commissioner of Education for resolution. It's the only reason I'm voting no, because otherwise I agree.
Understood. I would hope that the fact that they're already filed before the Commissioner of Education, and there was some indication that we thought the issue should be
presented. Our language, that's what I'm saying. It's a fine line. I totally agree, sir.
Is there an order, is there a language change in the order that would kind of put you more comfortable?
I just think exactly what the chair said, that, you know, the proper form for resolution is the Commissioner of Education.
Commissioner, the last sentence of the draft says that resolution of that question and any appropriate relief may be had through the grievance pending verified petition to the Commissioner of Education.
Right. I'm just talking about the order itself. The order says that the that we're restraining arbitration without any further direction.
So if you put a second sentence on there about going to the Commissioner of Education with that.
I don't think I'm swaying any votes.
It's already at the Commissioner of Education.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's there. It's
okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
By a 4-1 cast, the draft is adopted. And the last draft for the day is that of Warren Hills Regional Board of Education and Warren Hills Regional Education Association. Docket number CO-2019-021. This draft grants the summary judgment motion filed by the association, finding that the board engaged in an unfair practice with respect to full-time paraprofessional employees. The board eliminated the full-time paraprofessional positions and then offered the same employees part-time positions not to exceed 29 hours per week. This made the positions ineligible for health benefits that they formerly received under the contract. The rationale presented by the board was pretextual. The action was obviously designed to change the employees' work week and to affect contractual benefits. The board violated subsection 5.3A5 and A1 derivatively. There was insufficient evidence to support the claim of a discriminatory A3 violation. That aspect of the charge is dismissed. The board is ordered to negotiate with the associations as to any proposed change in the terms and conditions of employment of full-time paraprofessionals and the appropriate remedy to cure the violation in the instant case. If the parties are unable to reach agreement as to the remedy within 90 days, the commission retains jurisdiction and the matter will be remanded to the Director of Unfair Practices for an evidentiary hearing solely on the issue of remedy. I have a motion to adopt.
Chair, I'm recused from this case.
Okay, I'm the only one.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed, one recused, and the draft is adopted. Before we pack up, I'd like to add an item to the agenda. I'd like to propose the following resolution. I believe you may have received a copy.
Was there?
Yeah. And the resolution relates to Paul Boudreau, who was a commissioner from 2012 to 2019. Whereas Paul Boudreau was appointed as a public member of the New Jersey Public Employment Relations Commission and has served from June 2012 through 2019. And whereas Paul Boudreau performed his duties as commissioner with integrity, diligence, and dedication, drawing on his knowledge and experience derived from public and private sector leadership positions as a member of the Maine House of Representatives, a Honeywell Corporation executive, and his decade as service as president of the Morris County Chamber of Commerce. And whereas the New Jersey Public Employment Relations Commission seeks to recognize Paul Boudreau for his contributions to New Jersey in furtherance of the goals established by the legislature. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members and staff of the New Jersey Public Employment Relations Commission on this 31st day of October 2019 wish it to be widely known that they respect and admire Paul Boudreau and commend his service to the commission, and be it further resolved that this resolution be spread upon the minutes of the commission and a copy hereof be presented to Paul Boudreau. I have a motion to adopt the resolution. Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Very nice.
I didn't know he was a representative in the House in Maine.
I did not know that either. I did know that he played college hockey University of New Hampshire.
Maine House of Representatives.
All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed, and it is granted. And let me just add just to that, that he was always a gentleman that it was a pleasure to work with. And he's missed.
Just want to note that next month's meeting is on a Tuesday. Just remind everyone of that. It's November 26th.
Tuesday before Thanksgiving, right?
Yes. Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Yes, I'm going to be after them available by phone if needed. So.
Okay.
I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? We are adjourned.
Paul, good luck.
You're going to be really happy you did.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I just get you got to go through it and then...